Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's election day here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something should be popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three. Sorry, I had a hiccup.
All right. Well, as you know, Dan and I were podcasting yesterday. They were announcing the finalists for the various awards in MLB, and we couldn't get to all of them because it was obviously continuing on while we were still doing the podcast. But here they are, and we'll see what Dan and I think and who's going to win and all that fun stuff. But the way they have it listed here is they start off with National League MVP. And the three finalists are Mookie Betts of the Dodgers, Freddie Freeman of the Braves, and Manny Machado of the Padres. Dan, before you tell me who you think is going to win this, I do have a question for you. Can you tell me where Fernando Tatis Jr. is? Because didn't they give him the award after about 2 or 3 weeks into this fantastical 60-game season? What happened to him?
He's just not Manny.
So, I don't know. He's gone. He's magically gone. He disappeared. So, but all right. Out of those three, Betts, Machado, and Freeman, who you got winning this thing?
Do I take a biased pick or a fan favorite pick? Or
pick whoever you think's going to win, or whoever you would vote for if you had a ballot.
Well, I mean, I would want to look at the stats. I didn't even let me know we were going there today.
Yeah, I didn't know either until I remembered we didn't really get a chance to talk about it yesterday.
I guess I'd go with that. Who do I think is going to win? Despite it all, or, including the media-friendly type personality you have to win the award, I think it goes the best.
So, yeah, from what I heard on the MLB Network, I think it's going to be Freddie Freeman's year to win it. It's very odd the way they discuss about who's going to win and the kind of the facts they point out, with the exception of one player who we'll get to in this next category, they really tend to highlight guys and teams that haven't won anything. And it's really odd how they do it. And I kind of have a feeling that, that means Freeman's going to win it. And, he had a good year. I know he hit 341. I don't have the rest of his numbers in front of me. Machado's not. He'll finish a distant third. And my guess is Tatis ends up probably fourth. So they can talk about how great it is that two teammates finish third and fourth in the voting. So, but all right, well, here are the three American League MVP finalists. We have Jose Abreu of the White Sox, DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees, and then Jose Ramirez of the Indians. Oddly, Dan, as soon as they brought up this award today, the first thing anybody said was, how come Mike Trout's not nominated? So I quite the kick out of that.
Well, he is the best player, but is it because their team was just in the dumps?
Yeah, well, you know, he was the best player, but I don't – or he is the best player in the game, but I don't think his numbers were as good as, you know, the guys who are nominated here. So I don't know if it's really a year to kind of complain about him not being nominated. So it was kind of interesting that was – you know, the way they went was, oh my God, he's not nominated and he's not going to finish first or second. But, you know, he hit .281 and he did have 17 home runs. So the power was there. But, you know, I believe these other guys were well over 300. And then even in an expanded playoff, the frickin' Angels couldn't get in. So I don't know if or how or, you know, when or where that all works out. But, you know, and I mean, I'm sure he'll finish fourth or fifth because he's going to get votes because he's Mike Trout. But, yeah, it was just weird to me that, you know, we're talking about guys who had three very good seasons. And in reality, I was really surprised that Shane Bieber wasn't nominated as an MVP candidate with the year he had. But, you know, right away, oh, well, Mike Trout's not nominated. Well, okay, maybe we could talk about the guys who are nominated. You know, it just seemed very weird. And sadly, you know, I ended up doing the same thing because that's exactly what they did. But, you know, I think it's three deserving guys. And, you know, like I said, I believe Bieber will probably get some, you know, a pretty solid amount of votes. I won't be surprised if he gets a top five finish. He was just that good. But, you know, out of those three, you know, you got Abreu, Ramirez, and LeMahieu. Who's at the top of your ballot?
Oh. I don't know. This one's kind of weird to me because I feel like, you know, like you said, where's Mike Trout? I was going to say that to you, but you already called yourself out on it. But, you know, I think it's interesting because you're actually picking from more of the league. And maybe that's the benefit of, you know, let's pretend like every team's in the playoffs and actually pick one of the better players instead of just the guy who's on, you know, the championship team or whatever. But, man, here goes Homer Bias. I'm going to go with Abreu.
Yeah, I really think it's between Abreu and Ramirez. You know, I know Ramirez came on really late, you know, and ended up putting up really fantastic numbers because the Indians needed a big run just to get into the playoffs. You know, Abreu was a lot more consistent. I believe he was the I believe it was baseball's. If not baseball, then he was the American League RBI leader. So he had fantastic numbers. I think it's going to be a really close vote, but I'm kind of hoping Abreu ends up pulling it out. So we'll see how that goes. And then we have American League Cy Young. This is an easy one. The nominees are Shane Bieber of the Indians, Kenta Maeda of the Twins, and then Hyun-Jin Ryu of the Blue Jays. You know, I had my rant yesterday. I honestly believe that Giolito should have been nominated, so I'm over that. I guess all I really want to know is, do you think that either Maeda or Ryu managed to get a first-place vote, or as good as Bieber was, is he just unanimous?
No, I think the other guys get a vote or two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had him as unanimous. I figured he would run away with that. Well, it's interesting that you're kind of on the other side. But obviously, we don't need to spend a lot of time there. That's Bieber's award. The National League one was a little more interesting. You know, the nominees are Trevor Bauer of the Reds, Yu Darvish of the Cubs, and then Jacob DeGrom gets in again for the Mets. Seems like he's nominated every year, and I believe he's won two in a row now. This would be three. What really kind of frightened me today, Dan, is when I heard them discussing about the voting for this, they actually mentioned that voters may have just voted for DeGrom because they wanted to be part of history and be able to say they voted for a guy who won three in a row. Isn't that pretty much one of the worst reasons in the world to have a ballot for postseason awards?
I mean, stripped of your ballot. That just seems utterly ridiculous.
You know, and well, you know, and then the other reason, and I honestly think, I know you haven't picked yet, but I honestly think Trevor Bauer is going to end up winning this. And a lot of it is the fact that the MLB Network made sure to know while the season was going on that no Cincinnati Reds pitcher has ever won a Cy Young Award. And they talked about how fantastic Trevor Bauer was, and you know they made sure to just drive that in every time Bauer pitched and every show they were on, they made sure to mention that. So he's going to win this and get the monkey off their back, I think. Even though, in all honesty, I know Darvish had a couple rough starts down the stretch, and I think that's going to hurt him. Because I really thought he was going to win this thing, but now I it's going to end up being Bauer. So who do you got?
I'm going to roll my
ballot.
I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to throw mine on Bauer too, because you did.
So and then we have the. Yeah, well, it's a great reason to vote for a guy because the team's never had a winner. You know, those are two, you know, because I want to be part of a guy winning three in a row and because the team has never had a pitcher that won the award. Those are two great reasons to vote for the guys. I don't know why we need analytics or anything. You know, let's just throw those out. So, but all right, National League Rookie of the Year. This will actually be the first award handed out next Monday. The three finalists are Alex Brahm, I believe it's Baum. It's B-O-H-M, so it's got to be Baum of the Phillies. Jake Cronenworth of the Padres, and then Devin Williams of the Brewers. You know, again, Dan, this is another case where early on, everybody had given this award to Cronenworth. Then Baum came on and really played well for the Phillies after he got called up. And then I believe Williams just won somebody's first year player award is, I believe, what they called it. I don't remember who it was, if it was AP or BP or, you know, Texaco or somebody like that handing out an award. So I think this is going to be kind of an interesting race. Do you got Cronenworth hanging on, or do you think one of these other guys or maybe both of these guys passed him?
I'm sticking with Cronenworth. I think he stayed pretty consistent. Plus, I had him on my
I think he manages to win. Again, I think that may be really close, but I think he'll hang on. I guess I wouldn't really be surprised if any of those three guys won it. Would you?
No.
You know, because I know Williams played favor really quickly. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere, and you know, it was weird because he only pitched like I think it was 27 innings, but he was really good in those 27 innings. So it's just kind of okay, here you go. All right, let's see, we got the American League Rookie of the Years. We have Christian Javier of the Astros, Kyle Lewis of the Mariners, and then Luis Robert, of the White Sox. I think this is kind of a two-horse race, but who you got winning it?
Luis Robert? I don't know. Rookie of the Year is always the hardest.
Yeah, they're not only are they difficult to predict, they're difficult to kind of pick. Yeah, I believe it's between Robert and Lewis. I know Lewis was the early favorite, but, you know, Robert really came on, and I think he ended up, I thought I saw a stat today, he led all rookies in RBIs. So I think it would be kind of neat if he won it, but I kind of have a feeling that Lewis is going to end up pulling this out just because he was a little more prominent name highlight-wise as the year was going on. So I think he may get a win, but I think Robert probably deserves it. But, again, that's just me. All right, Dan, this was the funniest category to me, and you'll know why when I say the last name if you haven't heard. American League finalists for Manager of the Year: Kevin Cash of the Tampa Bay Rays, Charlie Montoyo of the Toronto Blue Jays, and Rick Renteria of the Chicago White Sox. Dan, Renteria needs to win this award, doesn't he?
That was the first thing I thought when I saw that.
I saw this and I thought, man, how great would it be if the White Sox fired the guy who wins AL Manager of the Year? You know, that's like such a White Sox thing to do. I did hear everybody I heard today predicts him as finishing in third place, and they're all giving the award to Kevin Cash. To me that's kind of odd because I expected the Rays to be good. I didn't have them going to the World Series, but postseason doesn't count in these awards. So I honestly thought that Montoya and Renteria did better jobs than Cash. But what the hell do I know? I guess that's why I'm sitting here and these guys are on TV talking about it. But who you got winning?
I mean, I'm going with Cash. I think the World Series run takes it all. Well, you know, like you said, but I still think it somehow comes into play. I guess you wouldn't know. No, I think it goes to Cash. I still think it'd be awesome if Renteria won it, though.
That would be fantastic if he won it. You know, and what I'm really interested in is, you know, they always have the guys on TV when they hand out the awards. They have the nominee. So where is Renteria going to be? You know, how are they going to manage that one? So I was just kind of like, God, he needs to win. But all right, the final category, National League Manager of the Year. We got Don Mattingly of the Miami Marlins, David Ross of the Chicago Cubs, so we got both Chicago managers nominated here, and Jace Tingler of the San Diego Padres. Who's winning here for you?
It's going to be in all Chicago. No, I would say the coach out there in San Diego.
Oh, you think so? See, I kind of thought they would give it to Mattingly with the way the Marlins played and managed to find their way into the playoffs. So
yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I kind of have that feeling. You know? Probably wrong, but.
Yeah, we're ever right on these, huh? You know, just kind of how it works out. But come on, I don't need an internet problem now. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting with all the stuff going on. I was like, oh, okay. You know, we didn't really get to cover a ton of it yesterday. So yeah, I was like, oh. That'll be fun. But yeah, the, you know, the awards start next week. I believe they go Monday through Thursday. And I don't know the complete order, but I know it's Rookie of the Year is the first one they hand out. The Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year Award. Let me stress that it is now called that. And I do, you know, you don't have any idea why they decided to name the Rookie of the Year Award after Robinson, do you? Because I kind of wondered that yesterday.
Oh, Big Jack. Look out your window. I think it's just a part of the sign of the times.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's not like I have a problem with him having an award named after him or anything. I was just kind of wondering why they chose that one.
You know, I think it correlates, right? He was the first African-American Major League Baseball player, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a Rookie of the Year Award winner, so,
yeah,
you know, it's not really...
One, yeah.
You know, yeah, not like they would be stretching anything. You know, it definitely was an award he won, so...
Yeah, so I mean, I think it just shows, you know, their level and, you know, they're proud of, you know, the heritage of the base, you know, Major League Baseball. And when it comes to Rookie of the Year, you know, you think about it, he changed the game, you know, not only by winning the Rookie of the Year, but everything that comes with it. And it's something, you know, just having the game. I guess it's just something to add to the legacy.
Oh, did we? We actually had a caller on hold, but I know we were kind of going through that. I didn't get a chance to get to him. Looks like he dropped off. So sorry about that, caller. I just was hoping we could get through that before we brought you in. I do apologize. And it wasn't our friend Louie. It was a different number. So... But, all right, well, you know, since we have managed to wrap up the week in fantasy football, I did manage to win, you know, in all three of my leagues, the two that we're in, and then the third league that I got in with one of the other guys that we play with. How did you end up doing?
Well, Big Jack, in the auction league, I am now sitting pretty at number one in first place at 8-0. So, probably the weakest week ever. I was projected to score 141 points, and I scored 112. And luckily, my opponent was only 105. So, Matt Ryan underperformed big time for me. So, you know, barely hit his numbers. And then, you know, at least I have Young Hoku on my team because, I don't know, he's like the Robbie Gould of fantasy football right now, I feel. I don't know if it's just me or if, you know, he's been consistent as can be. So I think he was out for a week or two. You know, it is what it is. So that was pretty exciting. I've never been in first place in fantasy football, let alone have you know, a record ending in 0 or 8-0. You know what I mean? So an undefeated record. That's what I'm looking for. But another loss in the Snake League. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I didn't know how good Green Bay's defense was going to be up against Garoppolo. You know, with Fulton, not Green Bay. Who was it last week? It was your team, Seattle. I was looking at the wrong week. And then, you know, I have Foles. I should have went with Foles. I still wouldn't have won, but, you know, would have gotten 13 points instead of negative 30. And that's my fantasy week. So I'm 4-4 in that league. I'll be lucky if I make the playoffs. And, you know, this is the one, Big Jack, that I scored 182 points. I lost the game. 55 of them came from Dalvin Cook. So, you know,
what was that? That's the league you lost with him on your team. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you know, my defense, I have, you know, linebacker and the safety scored about 23 points combined. You know what I mean? Running back with 55 points and three wide receivers who barely scored 10 points, you know, 13 points together. And yeah. I just want to cry.
Yeah, I'm putzing along. I think the league you're 8-0 in, I am 7-1. So I'm right behind you.
Well, and that's the rough thing. I did take a look ahead, and you know, this week upcoming. Oh, it is. It's actually me and you. And you're projected to kick.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the Snake League, my team played really well, and I managed to get a win. So that was a big plus. But I'm kind of like you. I'm sitting at 4-4, and I'm probably gonna need to win out if I'm going to find my way into the playoffs. So it's gonna be difficult. But you know, who knows? Maybe I will. I will catch a break and get hot here, and hopefully, you know, McCaffrey comes back, and that would help me out quite a bit. So, you know, we'll see how that one works out for me, because obviously that's a big, a big hit against me, as I have the guy who was the number one pick in the draft, and I can't, you know, I can't play him. So, I know he ended up, there was a lot of talk that he would be back last week, but they had the Thursday night game, so they didn't play him. So it would be really nice if I could get him back this week, because my third running back, the guy who's been subbing in for him, is on bye. So I kind of need the... I need the running back. I need the body. So we'll have to see if maybe I can catch a break and see if somebody, if he just comes back and gives me something to kind of help me out. Otherwise, I think that team's going to be in big trouble as the week goes on here. Phenomenal. But, yeah, you know, I mean, otherwise, you know, it was a good week. You know, it's always nice to win the games. That's a big plus. And, you know, hopefully I can, continue to win. I am a little concerned about my one quarterback situation is Cam Newton and Teddy Bridgewater. And Newton hasn't played well, and Bridgewater took a cheap shot last week. So I hope he's okay, because I may have to rely on him with the way Newton has been playing.
What do you think is the difference? I thought at first going into it, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I'm almost not sure how to describe it. You know, he got COVID and really... He's been bad ever since coming back from it. So I don't know if it's the lingering of the virus possibly, or, you know, if it could be something else, but whatever it is, he's just guffling.
You think he came back too soon?
You know, I really wish I knew if he was just, you know, was he back too soon? You know, maybe he's, I don't know, struggling to adjust to the new system. But, I mean, he is getting his, you know, his rushing yards. I mean, even, last week he did – you know, he ran for a decent amount of yards. I didn't play him. I had Bridgewater in. But, you know, again, it's just it's starting to become a concern because he just hasn't played well. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, if I run into a good team, I may have some issues winning. Luckily, this week I was playing, actually, that was the league I played. I played a team that was better than me, and I actually beat them. Or record-wise, they were better than me. So hopefully that keeps
up. Man, how do you think I feel, Big Jack? I've never been undefeated. I don't want to lose.
I don't think I've ever been undefeated either for as long as you have. I've never won 8-0. So...
I mean, I've had 8 losses in a row.
Yeah, I probably had that. I mean, I'm sorry your streak has to end this week when I beat you, but, sooner or later it was going to end, right? Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I was thinking was I hope it's down to Ty Lockett, and you're sitting there rooting against the Seahawks.
Yeah, you know, like I could never do that. But, you know, I mean, on the plus side, as long as we both don't collapse, we'll actually both make the playoffs in that league. So,
yeah.
You know, that'll be nice to actually get in the playoffs after the embarrassment hockey was. So, you know, I still think I got to kick myself out of the hockey league. I think I was one of the bottom teams.
You and me both. I mean, you're talking about, I just can't believe it. You know, the fact that we both just changed it every day. I was keeping up with watching the waiver wire. Just nothing. So, I mean, you know, you had brought it up. And have we ever faced each other in the finals? Have we ever been in it together?
No.
Wow.
No, not at all. No.
That's crazy.
Because I don't think I ever ended up playing Mr. Fantasy in the finals either. I always run into his buddies, the Elk guys, who oddly are still in the league even though Mr. Fantasy is out. So take that for what it's worth. You know, just one of those odd, odd things. But you know, and the sad part with like hockey is, I thought I had a good team. When it comes down to it, when you know next year rolls around, I don't know what I did wrong. So if there is a next year with the way things are going, but yeah, I don't know, you know, it was kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I'm really happy with this team. I like the way it worked out. I had a couple, really good, really solid goalies. So I was okay there. And I was just like, I like this team. You know, I did have, maybe one too many rookies on the bench, but, you know, they were just bench guys. They weren't guys who I was expecting to play all the time. And, yeah, I was like, okay, great. So, you know, you stink.
Oh,
why are you so
trust me. You know, how do you feel? I was in the same boat. You know, I mean, I think one of my biggest downsides was not getting enough goalies for some reason. I did not understand that, Big Jack. You know, I forgot what you lowered the minimum to. I think it was just one, wasn't it? One or two?
Yeah, just one.
But yeah, guys, we're still going after goalies. You know, we still had it at 3 or 4 minimums a week. So it was just killing me because I only had like maybe 2. And then I had to, search for a third one where some of the guys I was going up against had 4 goalies. And I guess I never, and, you know, maybe that's a strategy. I didn't never, you know, I never thought of it that way, I guess. Because the goalies do give you, you know, it's a significant portion, especially in our league, of points. And I guess when you only have two decent goalies against a guy who has four, you know, three top goalies, or, you know, you just get your ass handed to you. And that's where I was getting my ass kicked.
Yeah, I guess maybe I need the third goalie next year. You know, maybe I'll have to try that and see if it helps out. But, you know, I may go cheat and figure out, you know, the guys who won and stuff, and see what their roster construction was like, and see if that kind of helps me out. But, while we are rambling here on hockey, I have what I guess is, well, what could be a really interesting scenario, maybe good or bad, depending on how you look at it. You know, obviously with the COVID-19 thing still going on and us having absolutely no control of anything, you know, Dan, there are five NHL teams that are based in Canada. We saw what happened with the Blue Jays. You know, you can't go back and forth across the border. You know, Canada doesn't want any, you know, Americans crossing in there, and basically we're pretty much the same way, I would guess. How do you think this affects the NHL season if and when it finally does restart?
You know, I did see a little thing, heard a little thing about the possibility of the NHL, those Canadian teams coming back to the States. And it may not be permanent, but it could be. I mean, do we see somebody go back to Atlanta and go back to all the places that they took the team away from? Or places
Like I had heard this originally with the NBA, but when it comes to the NBA, we're only talking about one team. You know, we saw how, you know, while it took a little bit for baseball to find a place for Toronto, that they did find them a place to play. You know, again, it's another Toronto franchise in the NBA, this time being the Raptors. I don't think it would be as, obviously, I don't think it's as difficult to move one franchise as it is five. Where the hell do they find five spots? I mean, you go back to Atlanta, do you think maybe they share some buildings?
That's a possibility.
So, you think about it. I mean, obviously, it's the Canadians, the Senators, and the Maple Leafs. They're all in the Atlantic Division. There is nobody in the Metropolitan Division. That's all the East Coast teams. And no, Dan, Dallas isn't in the one. That's just football. In the Central, it's just the Winnipeg Jets. And then in the Pacific Division, it's just the Vancouver Canucks. So, like, the Central and the Pacific might not be too bad to move a team, but shuffling those three teams around in the Atlantic might be a pain in the ass. So, but, yeah, and, you know, I haven't, you know, and again, I haven't heard anything on when the NHL is hoping to start or planning to start. You know, and a lot of it is, of course, the fact that it's not that well covered as a sport. You know, I know they do want to try to play all 82 of their games. So it would be interested. Here's a new article. Maybe they have some kind of possible start date or something here. But I don't know, Dan. Do you see them playing 82 games?
When are they planning on starting?
Okay, right now it looks like the plan is January 1st. So So yeah, that's where they are right now.
So then they would run deeper into the summer.
Yeah, you know, and again, depending, you know, what, how many games they'd be willing to play a week, or, you know, however that works out. I mean, I haven't heard the NHL players start to cry like the NBA players. But it looks like the NBA players are going to get their wish anyways, because if they can't come to an agreement, it'll be too late to start around Christmas, and that, you know, it'll end up being pushed back just like the players want. So, you know, they can go cry about that then and get it pushed back a little farther. So, but, yeah, you know, other than that, they don't have – much of a plan about like how many hockey games they're going to try to play, or, you know, where, you know, the only thing they've announced is that they did cancel the Winter Classic games. So,
well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And apparently they actually, here, this is cute, Dan, they actually scouted a lake in Alberta, Canada, for the possibility of playing an outdoor game there.
That's actually an awesome idea. Until someone falls.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah. Until, yeah. Until the ice breaks. So, but yeah, there's not much, you know, really being said, or, you know, what else it looks like, but hoping for a, you know, a January 1st start, but there's no game numbers. There's no, you know, no idea about how they're going to handle the Canadian teams or where they're going to go. So I guess that's all we get. So we just got to kind of wait and see.
One, they don't have much time. You know, I'm not even, no. I just realized, you know, I didn't just realize, but I just realized, you know, January 1st, it's November 3rd.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, all that stuff is, you know, right around the corner. I mean, before we know it, it'll be Thanksgiving, and, you know, then it'll be Christmas, and here you go. Here's, you know, here's January 1st. Are we going or what? So, yeah, I don't know if, you know, if they'll have, you know, enough time to get it together, or how they'll work it out. And again, you know, like I said, I haven't, you know, there's not a whole bunch of NHL coverage, so it's hard to get news. You know, I don't, the NHL Network is one of the ones I don't get. At least it's available on my setup. We just don't get it with our package. But, yeah. So, but, yeah, and then I heard an interesting thing, Dan, and I couldn't help but laugh. I didn't see all of it, but apparently, and this is going to go over fantastically, for the NBA to apparently continue to keep their salary cap where it is and everything increasing, with the fact that they're not going to be able to put fans in the stands except in a limited capacity, they're going to need players to agree to give some of their salary back. How do you see that going over? That's what I did when I heard it too.
I don't even. How do you even answer that? You know, the players will never agree to that.
Exactly like you did. You chuckled. That's exactly how you answer it, because you and I both damn well know that ain't happening. You know, there ain't a player in the league that's going to go, oh, yay, no problem. Take whatever you need, guys. Yeah, take it back. So,
start getting IOUs.
Yeah.
Get a Bobby Bonilla new contract.
Obviously, you know, the odd thing about it is, you know, it doesn't affect really these players, but what it affects is when this TV contract runs out and, you know, the money from that isn't what it was and all that other stuff, and then instead of the salary cap coming up, it goes down. And, you know, the future players, you know, kids who are probably still in college, won't be able to get these big-time contracts. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of react to that. If this good old Adam Silver actually has the Canucks to ask them to take a pay cut. I don't know if I see that happening, but it could be kind of humorous.
They're going to have to sell more patches on their jerseys.
Yeah.
So sell more hands.
They're going to have to sell a lot, right? So, you know. And then, you know, and I know we discussed football a little earlier, but maybe you can answer this for me. Remember, and I know you and I discussed this quite a bit when the CBA was coming up, and the owners wanted 18 games, and they were willing to get rid of a couple preseason games. And, you know, the Players Association, no, you know, we got all this concussion risk and stuff. But now, apparently, the Players Association is willing to discuss with the owner a 16-team playoff scenario. Dan, that's going to end up adding more games. So why is it okay here, but it wasn't originally? I mean, everything's the same.
Money.
You know, is that what it is? They can charge television more money because they call them playoff games?
Yeah, think about it. Well, you know, I guess if we kind of put it in perspective of a player, you know, I make $30 million, whatever millions you make a year. But let's just say how much, you know, what do you know? What does the average player make a game? I don't know, $1 million?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good number.
Okay, so 16 games, and you make $1 million. Well, you had that extra game on for two games. It would be 18, right? How many would you play? How many do they play now? Why am I
16.
Off? So they play 16. So they would play two more for 18, right? Correct?
Yeah, 16 regular season games, and then obviously depending on where you rank in the playoffs, you know, would be how many more games you would end up playing.
Yeah, so, but I mean, if it's just regular season, you have those two games, you're getting paid $1 million a game. Well, you no longer get paid $1 million a game because they're not going to inflate, you know. So you're not going to make, well, what is that, $12 million a year? Well, $12 million a year. $16 million a year for 16 games. But if they add on two regular season games, they're still going to make $16 million. You know, so maybe that's one way of looking at it. I don't know. That's kind of what I would think. But then, like you said, if you add on, turn those two extra games into playoff games, well, then there's a potential for more money, right?
Well, you know, when they actually suggested the idea, the owners actually mentioned that they would prorate the salaries. If you made, you know, $1 million a game, instead of your salary being $16 million, it would be $18 million. So they were willing to go with, you know, the increase that.
Well, then, you know, you threw that one, that theory, completely out the door for me. What would you say to, maybe some of them just not wanting to play the extra games if they don't have to. Meaning
yeah,
you're on,
I'm quite sure that that has a lot to do with that. You know, it is just the fact that they don't want to play the game. You know, the bottom line there is just the fact that it's kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, we've got this whatever going on, and yeah, I don't want to play. So.
So, but with this proposal, so you're saying we would just have two preseason games, and then they would go right into the season for the regular
season?
The original
proposal that the players just crushed, the players and their union just crushed, was they wanted, the owners wanted two preseason games and then 18 regular season games. You know, what was the original plan there, but, you know, for whatever reason, you know, again, you know, they cited concussions and, you know, all the other protocol that comes along with that kind of stuff as the reason for not wanting to do that. And I was like, well, okay, you know, that's understandable. You know, player safety is a big deal. So, you know, you're going to want to look out or watch out for things like that. I can see where you're coming from here. But yet then they say, you know, well, but wait, we're going to put half the league into the playoffs now.
Yeah.
Half the league's going in the playoffs. What the hell are you talking about? it just becomes kind of strange. You know, because if you think about it, you know, like if you're a wild card team, you're actually playing, you know, you have the wild card weekend. I think you play four games if you were to go all the way to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you're playing, you know, 20 games or 19 games, but all of a sudden, this is a difference? You know, and it gets kind of baffling when it's like, well, wait a minute, why is this a problem? So yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. It was kind of like, wait, we're doing the same thing here, just on the back end instead of during the regular season. So, you know, the only thing I thought of was it's just got to be money related, right?
Pretty much. I mean, you make more, wouldn't you? I don't know how postseason pay gets allocated, but I would assume they make more money.
Yeah, you know, it's based, you know, it's percentage wise, it goes into a pool, I believe. And then it's divided out amongst the teams is how that kind of works out. So I'm not totally sure, you know, if or how you get the money either. But yeah, it just seemed, again, it seemed very odd that, you know, it was like, okay, we're willing to play them. And, you know, I guess to be fair, not every team would be playing, but 16 is half the league. So imagine some of the terrible teams that are going to get into the playoffs. You know, I mean, you may have multiple under 500 teams in the playoffs.
Hey, the Browns will make it then, right?
Yeah, they would. So, but yeah, I was just like, wait, really? This is, you know, this is what we got going on. But yeah, no, I just thought it was, you know, like I said, I just thought it was interesting because it was like, you know, when we wanted to throw it in at the end of the regular season, it was, or, yeah, when we wanted to throw it onto the regular season, it was a big deal. I haven't heard one mention about concussions or injuries or anything else here, just because obviously it's a bigger piece of the pie. So, you know, and I know that it's the NFL trading deadline, and, you know, I would love to come on here and talk to Dan about some blockbuster trade, but there weren't any. So, you know, I think the biggest news was the fact that Antonio Brown was activated and he'll play Sunday for the Buccaneers. I don't know of any big-time guys that were traded. You know, the Steelers got a linebacker. The Patriots got a wide receiver. You know, all the bigger names were traded days or weeks before, because with COVID, you know, anybody you trade for has to sit out a week. So any of these guys that can move today can play on Thursday or Sunday or Monday, whenever their game is. So, you know, teams were trying to get deals done earlier. And, you know, unfortunately, Dan, the Bears didn't make any moves. I know that disappoints you. They didn't go out and get a quarterback. So
they didn't trade Mitch?
No, Mitch is still here. So, but humorously, I know, I think I joked with this about you on Twitter. I did hear some guys overnight on the local station calling in to say that they think Mitch Trubisky should come back in as the starter. Who's the most popular guy on the team, Dan?
Who, me?
Yeah. Who's the most popular guy on your football team?
Which team?
Any team. Who's the most popular guy on any NFL team ever?
Mitchell Trubisky? I don't know. Herschel Walker?
The back of quarterback, right?
Oh, the back of quarterback. I'm like, threw me off on that one. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, I thought that was funny because, you know, these were probably the same guys who were calling in talking about how bad Trubisky sucked and he needed to get out. And, you know, now here they are calling in saying he needs to start. It was like, yeah, that's Chicago for you.
Well, and I actually read that he was traded, but my friend said,
yeah, no, I haven't. Yeah, I didn't see anything. Did they get a bag of practice tees or something for them, footballs, or, you know, I can double check here while I'm on the site, see if they have anything here. No, it doesn't look like it.
Oh.
I guess just wishful thinking. You know, and I mean, at this point, what could you get for him? Would you get a 7th-round pick? I don't know.
No, I mean, I've contemplated, you know, I sit there Sunday morning going, should I drop Foles and pick up Trubisky? Is today going to be the day? I mean, I just honestly don't know what this team, if they're going right or left.
But, you know, before we run out of time, I did have to ask you, did you get out and vote today, or had you already voted? You know, like I did the mail-in thing. Did you get yours out?
I applied for mail-in and never got anything.
Oh, wow.
I just went.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any problems. I got mine right away. My ballot's been in for about a week, so I wish Twitter and Facebook would stop telling me that I need to vote, because I've been done for a while. Maybe you could call me.
I know.
You know, let them know that I did it, and we'll see. So, but hey, we're coming back tomorrow at 4:30 to do it again. Video while we're gone. FullTimeRadio.com. The new blog goes up there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're there, the link will take you over to the Facebook page. You know, you want to go over there. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, of course, it's at FullTimeRadio. Hey, if you still watching, this is a small box for doing that. But if you did miss out,